Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
We are so happy.
When you opened my knees, looked in between, you saw the ocean.
Good morning. It is March 21st, and thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and what you were just listening to is a new horsepower track, Pisces. We are broadcasted from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here live from the most western part of Vancouver, Pacific Spirit Park, UBC's campus. If you never listened to the show, thanks for tuning in. Listen, we'll be here for the next hour. We were supposed to have a special guest today. However, this Negro is asleep. And it's all good because I have a lot going for you. And also, I just figured we'll just shame him for the next 56 minutes because why not? That's what you do to friends, you know? You just talk bad about them in, you know, public settings so that they can, you know, feel attacked because that's what this is. If you never listened to the show before, what we like to do here is we like to talk a little bit about some local news, a little bit about some national news, really get you hip. No, but really just takes a collection of stories, boils them down to the things that I believe that you should know about, and then present them in such a way that it feels like you're talking to your friend, just sitting on the couch, you know, sitting on the couch, just having a conversation. So thank you for joining in. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can always call in at 604-822-2487. And if you want to do, if you want to even go one better and you really like listening, you can call and make a donation to the fund drive because I don't know if you're a regular listener, you'll know that I was out of town for the last 2 weeks for work. And it was CITR's fund drive. And so what the fund drive does is it provides opportunities for like youth camps, people who wouldn't typically be able to, you know, learn how to be on the radio and maybe didn't even know they had interest in radio. They have the ability to come and come to a camp for free, in indigenous camps, you know, lots of opportunities for the kids. So if you want to donate to the fund drive, you can still do that at CITR.ca, or you can call 604-822-8648, or you can just call 604-822-2487. You can just call me. I'm not giving my phone number out here, but you can be on Facebook or Instagram, and I'll show you how to do it. I would appreciate it. Before we jump right into some of the stories we have to talk about, we are going to just look at the weather here in Vancouver because for the first time in about 5 or 6 months, I feel like Vancouver has been able to not necessarily shame people, others, but really just like enjoy the weather. Like we're just enjoying it. It has been nice outside. This entire week has been in the teens, all sunny, and it's going to continue through the weekend. So today, tomorrow, Saturday will all be 16, 14, and 11. And it won't start raining again until Monday. But we've been enjoying such great weather that it doesn't really matter if it doesn't rain until Monday. Like, I feel as if we have been saved from winter. Particularly if you were fortunate enough or had the foresight to look out at the sky yesterday and see that lunar super spring moon. Because I looked at it yesterday and this morning and didn't realize how special it was because the next time it's going to happen is in 2038. And a lot of you listening will probably be listening from the other side. And I only say that in the idea that, you know, people who wake up 7 o'clock in the morning, listening to the radio, community radio, you know, maybe a little on the other side of the hill. But, you know, we got fans all over from people in London to D.C., Vancouver, L.A. We got span many continents. And so who knows? But 2038 is the next time you'll be able to see that moon. And if you are a flat earther, I'd like to understand your explanation on that. So you're welcome to call in too, but first you should make a donation before you call in and tell us about your theory. Let's just jump right into the stories after a break. So I don't know that if you have, if you're listening from another part of the world, so like if you're getting up, brushing your teeth here in Vancouver. I'm sure this is a story that you've heard a lot, but if let's say you're at your job, maybe a job you don't like, you know, and you're just like, you know, I just need like 1 hour. I just need like 1 hour away, and I'm going to listen to Issa during that 1 hour. Thank you also, but we're going to be talking about the measles and why this continues to be a story. Also, what is wrong with people and why can't they just understand that they're doing the world a favor by getting vaccinated? I'll tell you why when we get back.
Consecutive hours of essential cinema returns to the Cinematheque this spring. Join us for the 24-hour movie marathon, March 30th to 31st, 10 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's the Sleep Be Damned Challenge that only the most seasoned cinephiles dare to tussle with. A super secret lineup of films will be served, a medley of forgotten gems and art house hits from around the world. There will be prizes, complimentary craft beer, tasty treats, and much more. This event is 19+. Tickets are $60 and seating is very limited. Reserve your ticket today by visiting thecinematheque.ca.
Spitting and start shoplifting. I'm a nigga, so I'm not winning. When the cops kill me, the ops come. We fought them, we lost some indeed. And the outcome, they drop one, they got you. They take shots, we pop two. Not talking no pistols, I'm talking those pills. When I'm talking about shots, yeah, I'm talking about kills. In America, plots for the end of us all. On my next delay reason, but I got the chills. Niggas stay frozen, they posing me. Why all the whole shit is blowing? The labels be claiming they own it. You owe them, the white men is swimming your faces. But do it in any illusion. We fishes out of water. Niggas barely ever see they motherfucking fathers. Barely saw my mama when I went away to college. Lost myself in partying and smoking marijuana. Just to ease my conscience. Just to feel a type of way and make it to tomorrow. Just to meet a woman looking damn near like a model. Turns out she was feeding me more reasons for my sorrow. Turns out any love you get, that shit is fucking borrowed. I'm far from done, let me get this off my chest. I've been broke since day one, so don't you confuse me with the rest. No, don't ask me how I'm doing if you wanna spare my breath. No, don't ask me how I'm doing if you send it through a text. No, don't claim you're pro-black youth if you just acting for the press. No, don't dab me lest you heard my tape and gave it some respect. I don't want your pity, just your ears, nothing more, nothing less. Nothing for, nothing against. Fuck, I think I'm still obsessed. I want some love and some indica. Love and some indica. Love and some indica. Love and some. I want some love and some indica. Love and some indica. Love and some indica. Don't we all? I want some love and some indica, love and some indica, love and some indica, love and some. I want some love and some indica, love and some indica, love and some indica. Don't we all? When I rap, it's acrobatics. I'm battling these antagonists, answering as a Vatican leader who isn't Catholic. Advocate for the cannabis candidate. You just can't resist. Catalyst for the gradual passage of rights for Africans. Radical, but a pacifist. Passing my pastor. Sacrament, sacrificing my life for the causes Martin and Malcolm did. All you niggas are mannequins wearing shoes that I traveled in. Used to say I'm a rapper, but now I claim I'm a rhapsodist. Packing my fucking blunt as I'm smacking my fucking gums in the back of this fucking bus. Cause I really don't give a fuck. I'm the best that there ever was, and you know it. Cause I'm above all these rappers who just be rapping about nothing but hoes and drugs. I want some love and some indica. Love and some indica. Love and some indica. Love and some. I want some love and some indica. Love and some indica. Love and some indica. Don't we all? I want some love and some indica.
You're back off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR, not CA. I'm your host, Issa Aryan. And you know, like when you are playing a song, you know, for your parents, or particularly for me, for your mom, and you just kind of forget how much it cusses, and then they look over at you and you're like, damn, I knew I wasn't supposed to play that. So like, do I skip it or do I continue to play? Because, you know, while we have freedom, I do understand that. Listen, kids listen to the show. You're getting ready for school. they're 6 years old and they still have to pretend for like another 10 years that they've never heard the F word before in their life. So, you know, that's a thing. But that was San Kuma and Indica. So if you want to go check it out. Listen, I have a playlist on Spotify each month. I do my public service, which go out and try to find songs that you probably have never heard, but also will like. You know, and it is really just songs I've never heard that I like, and I'm 100% sure that you never heard them. But if you like the music, you should go check it out. You can go Spotify. You can just type in Off the Beaten Path. There's a playlist for every month for almost a year now. So do that. Getting back to here, local news. Yeah, so what we like to do is we talk about the local news first. But this is really like a wider epidemic. So what we have been hearing and seeing is that the rise of measles has come back. And measles is one of those, I guess, like the specific disease that anti-vaxxers are specifically not getting their kids vaccinated from. And there has been over 40 cases of measles here in BC because we have a high population of idiots. And people have decided that, you know, it's not worth the risk to their kids to get vaccinations. So let's leave them susceptible to polio and measles and other types of diseases. So the schools have decided to launch measles immunization programs in BC because what people don't understand about vaccines is how vaccines work. So one, not everybody can get vaccines. So just due to their immune system, they might not be allowed to get vaccines because what a vaccine is like a dead version of the disease. And what it allows your body to do is build up an immunity to that disease. And so if you come in contact with that disease, your body has a better chance of fighting it because it's already fought before. Like, I like to think of immunization as like a scouting report or maybe like practice. And your body has, you know, if you go into the Super Bowl and you've never practiced before, you know, you're going up against the measles or you're going up against polio or maybe cholera or yellow fever or any of these diseases that, you know, that we get vaccinated for, or hepatitis or whatever the fuck. Oh, excuse my language. Sorry, I get really intense when I'm talking about, you know, public health. However, if your body's going in there, you know, raw, you might get knocked out. You know, you could get knocked out like Tyson in the first round. You could die. Like Apollo Creed, you know? You might just get hit by, you know, Drago and it's over with. Polio, take you out. However, if you've been practicing and you've been training, you've been fighting in the desert, you know, then your body has a better chance. But that's what these anti-vaxxers don't understand. And because since not everybody can train and not everybody can go out and train, what we have to do is we have to build like an army of people who have these vaccines so that it can protect the people who can't get it. Anyways, so BC is preparing to launch immunization programs in the school because people are catching polio. And that doesn't make any sense. We're trying to get the herd immunity up. However, with the anti-vaxxers, it's just become a hard battle because, you know, we live in like a free country where people are able to make their own decisions, no matter how much they affect other people. And this is one of those things that does. So if you're listening, you should probably vaccinate your kids. But if your kids are vaccinated and you are upset, try to push to have this immunization programs in your school. Me, I'm vaccinated for the measles and I'm happy about it. So take your non-vaccinated kid and get him the hell away from me. Something that, you know, is harmful to many But not nearly as disgusting. There's a story in CBC today how Vancouver seniors have been bilked out of millions due to phone scams. And so whenever I see one of these stories, like, I often feel bad because these scammers prey on the elderly and the ill-informed and the people who just don't know any better. But then sometimes I see a scam and I'm like, man, how did that even work? I don't know if you guys have watched or you guys know what Theranos is. So it was this company in Silicon Valley who was trying to come up, not even try. I don't even know if they were trying, but they said they were coming up with a device that could test blood. And I want to know, like, what's the difference between that? And they never, and you can watch the documentary on HBO, but they never come up with it. And they basically get hundreds of millions of dollars and billion-dollar valuation for really nothing. And how's that different than a phone scam? You know, so what happens, I guess what happens is that these scammers are a lot more nefarious in the idea that, you know, while, you know, they're just like lying the whole time. Like the other one was just, they were just building a business with nothing. And these people are just lying. So the scam, a fraudster calls the senior on a landline and pretends to be a jewelry store employee or a police officer. The fraudster would tell the senior that their credit card has been used for a large purchase or that the police needed their help for an investigation. They don't ask for any personal information, but urge the senior to hang up and call the bank or 911 immediately. However, the fraudster would stay on the line on some landline phones. When the originating caller does not hang up, the two lines stay connected. So when the senior picked up the phone to call 911 and their bank is directed, the fraudster was still on the line and would play a fake dial tone. Then they would pretend to be the police officer or the bank representative as the senior dialed the number. Eventually, through a series of back and forth phone calls, the fraudster would persuade the senior to transfer large amounts of money to an overseas account. So that's how they did it. So if somebody calls you, pretends to be a jewelry store or a bank owner, hey, listen, other people might not care about you, but Issa cares about you. And so, hey, if you're one of those people who might not see the supermoon in 2038, but you're still listening to this radio show, even after some of the music with cuss words, listen, you have done yourself a great service because I have just helped you thwart potential fraud. This happened to people with landlines because obviously when you call a cell phone, nothing, you know, and the person hangs and you hang up, guess what happened? It hangs up. But this works on a landline, and it's just kind of crazy to me that people are still getting scammed in the year of our Lord 2019 on landlines. But I guess if you are an elderly person or maybe not as hip, you can get scammed too. However, I guess it doesn't even take elderly person because my friend, who shall not be named, once got, I think was downloading a torrent or was trying to stream something online, and once got one of those, your Mac has been compromised or something, you know, and the red screen pops up and everything like shakes, but it's not like a real screen. Well, anyway, she clicked on there and then gave them $200 so that she could feel comfortable that her Mac had been cleaned. But you know, when you download that antivirus, well, you're actually just downloading the virus. So she paid $200 to have her computer banged out. So it does. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be dumb. You don't have to be ignorant to get scammed. You just have to be, and you need to be more diligent in who you give your information to and who you accept phone calls from, because like me, if your number isn't saved in my phone, it's not getting answered. So if you listen to the show a lot, you know, one of the favorite stories that we like to talk about here is animals. And not just animals, you know, not just like animals being animals, but like animals staking their claim and fighting back. This isn't one of those stories, though. This is a story about a man who was trying to create a cheetah reserve in the Kootenays. And Earl Pfeiffer imported a male and female cheetah from South America in 2013. And he has been denied permission to keep his two pet cheetahs at an enclosure he's built in the Kootenays. Because what the hell could go wrong with bringing two cheetahs into the Kootenays and hoping that an enclosure was able to hold them and keep them in without them getting out? Because I don't know how much Blue Planet you guys watch or how much Planet Earth you guys watch or any of those other shows, but cheetahs can climb trees. And so even if you built an enclosure, like he's not building a dome. So there's a high likelihood that the cheetah would be able to get out. And while this would provide me a lot of joy, you know, in the next few years to potentially just as these cheetahs just, you know, maybe eat farm animals, maybe get a kid or two, you know, maybe attack someone while they're hiking. It could attack me while I'm hiking. You know, like, as soon as these cheetahs go loose, it's a wrap. Like, I don't understand, like, why anybody would think that's a good idea. First, I don't understand why this man imported cheetahs in the first place. Like, leave the cheetahs where they're supposed to be, in South Africa. Like, what's the point? I don't understand. I didn't know that Ontario's alien species laws are far more lax than BC because he was allowed to bring them to Ontario, but to BC is not a thing. It is understood that he had brought these cheetahs to BC under the guise that they were still in Ontario, like told everyone they were still in Ontario when in fact they were here already. And the cheetahs have already gotten out. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like not even that he's already built an enclosure and they've already gotten out. So this second enclosure was denied because just basically of this guy's incompetence. If he wants to call in and defend himself, he can. However, the cheetahs just should not be in British Columbia. However, I do think on one hand how cool it would be to see like cheetahs added to BC's wildlife, because why not? I mean, humans have already ruined ecosystem after ecosystem. Why not add in like another super predator? Be kind of tight. When we get back, we're going to talk about some good news before we head into some worldly news. So you want to stay tuned because lots of fun over here.
Don't you?
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Thanks for tuning in. And I want to talk to you about some good news. So I don't know if you're familiar with BC's like news, politics, cycle. But what we talk about here often is drugs, homelessness, and housing. And so we have quite an opioid issue here in BC. And this past January, what we have seen is a 31% drop in illicit drug overdose deaths in 2019. So compared to one year ago, and February is also down. So, I mean, it is down from 130 deaths to 90. And so that is pretty good. But not great. I mean, you know, there's still 90 overdoses in BC in January. So I think that's, while looking at the numbers and feeling good about, you know, the work that people have done, you know, just understand that everybody has work to do, and we have to continue to do work and to continue to think about these people. And there are some people in BC who are try to go above and beyond what their duty is. There is a woman, Kate Gardner, in BC, and she spends a lot of her free time going through brush and branches and bushes and, like, even, I wouldn't say she's putting herself in harm's way, but she's definitely, like, going out and getting scratched up and scraped up because she has made it her duty to clean up trash and garbage, you know, throughout BC. She picks up cigarette butts, cups, you know, whatever basically she can find that's on the ground and throws them in the trash. And I commend Kate. So, if you see a woman picking up trash, one, you should stop and help her if you have some time. But if you don't have time, maybe you should give her some money, you know, if you see her, you know, or maybe you should take a little bit of your time today and pick up some trash. Don't do it with your bare hands, but you should do it anyways. When we come back, actually, we don't even need to go. We're here. Let's get, like, we haven't even shamed Kayla for not making it to the radio show yet. But you know what? Somebody told me not to do it. Somebody was like, you know, leave him alone. And I thought about that. But no. No. So, there is an Arizona mother who ran a popular YouTube channel. She has been accused of abusing adopted children. So this story is some complex. A woman, Michelle Hackney, was arrested last week on suspicion of child abuse, child molestation, unlawful imprisonment, and child neglect. Hackney happened to be the operator of Fantastic Adventures, a scripted YouTube series with more than 800,000 followers and millions of views. The channel was most known for a superhero-themed video starring Hackney's adopted children, who are between the ages of 3 and 15. And I guess with the rise of social media, particularly YouTube stars and, like, the ability to create shows and content on their site, I feel like this is, I don't want to say the worst of what we would have expected, but this is definitely not out of the realm of expectation, you know, when it comes to how people exploit people in vulnerable positions. So, like, I don't even know if I want to, like, dive in deep to reading, you know, going on what, you know, what exactly the details of what was going on with these kids. But it's obvious that kids who are adopted, you know, we understand that they are in a more vulnerable position, whether they are in foster homes or maybe they're in their adopted parents' homes. The idea is that they can be exploited, and there's really no one for them to go to discuss or complain because it's their caretakers that are, their caretakers that are taking advantage of the situation. So this woman was putting her kids to work, and not only putting them to work, but she was doing some irrehensible things to the kids. So the kids were interviewed, and some were malnourished and underweight, and accused their mother of heinous acts. Like one of the girls told the police that she had been locked in the closet for days without food or water or access to the bathroom. And so, I mean, we know how badly people treat their own kids when it comes to these child stars and trying to, monetize your children. But imagine when it's just adopted kids, and we know how badly adopted kids are treated on a regular basis by some parents. And so it is crazy, the things and disturbing claims that have been made. I don't even want to read them all in air. I don't feel like it is, it's horrible. If you read it, you can go on Complex Magazine, complex.com, and you can read about it. It's just the creator of Family of YouTube channel. You can watch it. I'm sure you can see it on another news network as well. However, the idea, are the people who watch this YouTube channel, are they complicit in this abuse? Like, I mean, obviously they don't. I mean, I would hope that a lot of them do not know that the abuse is going on. But, it's sad that people can take advantage of anybody's situation. But it's crazy because the Fantastic Adventures was bringing in anywhere from $10,000 to $150,000 a month. And, $1.7 million a year. YouTube has demonetized the channel after they found out, after Hackney's arrest. My immediate thought is, what happens to these kids? Because they are obviously in this precarious situation, not only being adopted, but, having this shared experience with each other, and probably maybe close to each other, but also, where do they go now from here? I'm sure that if all of these claims are true, and all of these claims are true, then there's a lot of other there's a lot of other things that these kids are going to need to get back on track. And I mean, obviously there's no clear answer in the news article about what happened to these kids, but I feel like that's the next step of, caring. It's not just looking at the kids and or looking at the parent and understanding that she was doing, bad, but also, okay, so how are we going to make sure that these kids are done right by the next time? Her adult sons were also charged. All three remain locked up without bond. The kids are now, there's seven of the kids, and they're now in the Department of Children's Services. But we have seen, we've talked about stories on here, how the Department of Children's Services treats kids here. I hope that these kids are safe. I don't have very much faith in this system to make sure that happens. So when we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the mass shooting in New Zealand and how it differs from the United States, but then also how it's kind of the same. And that's not cool.
Strength, dignity,
respect,
beauty,
self-worth,
safety,
confidence, choice, hope. The Beauty Night Society is a registered charity dedicated to helping marginalized women introduce trust, hope, and self-esteem into their lives. This is the
first day of Through its popular makeover program, the Beauty Night Society has touched the lives of thousands and reintroduced a healthy touch to the lives of vulnerable women throughout British Columbia, creating real life makeovers.
Please visit www.beautynight.org for information on programs and on how to help. Beauty Night, because dignity is beautiful. I think I was blind before I
met you. After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to lifesaving.bc.ca.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9CITRs.ca here on UBC's campus. Like I said before, if you'd like to make a donation and really help continue some of the programs that CITR does, you are still able to if you missed out on the fund drive. You can go on CITR.ca/donate, D-O-N-A-T-E, for, you know, people who don't know. Because maybe you've never donated before. Like, maybe this is your first time donating to anything, and you're like, you know what? I think it's time. And it should be. So go on CITR.ca/donate, or you can call 604-822-2487. Listen, or you can just DM me on Instagram or on Facebook and just say like, hey, Issa, how do I donate? Listen, I'll tell you. So we have talked about mass shootings before here on we talked about mass shootings on here before, particularly when they happen in the United States. We talked about, like, you know, how this really hasn't impacted gun laws, how, you know, people basically respond to this global white nationalist movement. And last week, a mass shooting happened in New Zealand at a mosque in Christchurch, New Zealand. And 50 people were killed by a man who brought a semi-automatic weapon into a mosque and just started shooting people. And only 6 days later, New Zealand bans all military-style semi-automatic weapons. And so they will also ban assault rifles. So this similar thing happened in Australia. Australia had mass shooting. You know, a few days later, they banned all assault rifles, weapons. In the United States, we have mass shootings, and we're just mostly just like, you know, that's, it is what it is. And so what we have seen is just the difference in response that New Zealand has had from their prime minister. And it's just saying that, like, you know, things could be this way, but, you know, in America they are that way. And so, like, I'm, when I think about, you know, what happens in other places, yeah, you know, I'm kind of concerned, but really it's like, I think that a lot of times it's like, you know, these are sovereign nations who can do whatever they want. If New Zealand didn't ban assault rifles, it wouldn't, like, nobody's going to get up here to shame them like I'm an American, you know? However, in the States, when something this like this happens over and over and over and over again, like, banning is never even a consideration. So even that they considered it and followed through is pretty amazing to me. But also, one of the things that it shows is that the so there was a vigil in Toronto for the 50 people who died at the mosque, not died, who were murdered at the mosque, you know, by that white nationalist. And the suspect gunman basically left behind a 70-page manifesto about what his purpose was and his identity and what and basically what he felt he was supporting by committing this murder. And then a Canadian student in Toronto's York University decided to go to the vigil in a Make America Great Again hat. And I mean, it, obviously, it's 2019, like, it's 3 years after, you know, Donald Trump was elected president of the United States, and Make America Great was his slogan. And what we have seen is that, you know, over the years that the Make America Great Again hat has become like a lightning rod. It's almost akin to wearing a hood, you know, for the you know, for like the Klan. And to deny that is kind of just ridiculous on a lot of levels. However, people continue to say that it means nothing. However, when you show up to a vigil, even if you don't think that the MAGA hat is about white supremacy, you do think that this MAGA hat is about me and me being able to do whatever the hell I want. And I think just for that, somebody should be able to get slapped. And, you know, I work at like an establishment, and wearing a MAGA hat for me is not just the fact that, like, you might be a jerk and I might not let you in, because there's lots of jerks we don't let in, but also you might be a jerk that is going to incite violence. And listen, that's one thing that you can't have. So you can be a jerk in your own house. Like, wear your Make America Great Again hat at the crib. There's no reason for you to bring your hood out and, you know, let everybody know you're racist. So that is our show for the week. I think we can continue to shame Caleb because, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I had a little bit to talk about today, but most of it was just going to be me talking to my friend, you know, about things that we care about and things that we have been thinking about. And I was let down. So I just want you guys to know that. But thank you for tuning in. Listen, you can tune in here every Thursday from 7 to 8 a.m. I'm here. I'll be here with you, you know, while you're going to your job that you hate, or while you're brushing your teeth, or while you just, you know, maybe you just need an hour to sit on the toilet and think. Listen, I'm here for you to make sure you go into the weekend informed and thoughtful. If you like hearing me talk and you like the music and you like the ideas, you should also check out Crimes and Treasons with DJ Relly Rose, Jamal Steele's Homeboy Jules, Horsepower, myself, and Malik, because on Tuesdays from 8 to 10, it is the best hip-hop show in Canada, hands down. But thanks for tuning in. I'm out.